is The Buzz 24/7 at morningbuzz.com.
This is unbelievable.
Now that's what's up.
All right. So, good morning, everybody. Well, good morning now. I don't know when you're hearing this, but hi.
Hi, Greg.
Hi.
Still drinking that coffee.
So we are expecting Anthony Cangelosi, a former Secret Service agent, currently an adjunct professor, of criminal justice at John Jay College of Criminal Justice. And former Secret Service, obviously, you know, seeing the events that happened on Saturday with former President Trump, you know, you look at that and you're like, oh, something went wrong. Clearly something went wrong. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I want, let's find out before we start going after it.
What do they call it in football terms on Monday? What is it? We also were in that situation.
Right. Monday morning quarterbacks.
Yeah. When you see all the videos of people noticing that man and why it took so long and why that wasn't searched before.
I mean, we all have the same questions. Yeah. People go off, you know, and start screaming. Like, there's enough screaming in the United States. I don't want to be a part of that. And I don't like playing audio of terrible events. I don't. But in this case, because he's okay, and there's some audio I heard that I want to share with you before.
But he comes on with us.
I know.
Lost his life.
I don't mean. You're right. I guess I'm saying that this is the microphones that are on the stage, so you can hear conversations. You can hear what President Trump said. You can hear them and the Secret Service said, and I think that audio is interesting. You know what I mean? I apologize. I didn't mean that nobody was hurt. I meant that the president came through it. You know what I mean? And I just heard this audio. It's only 13 seconds long, but you can hear him respond to the Secret Service and you can hear them saying things. And I just thought it's kind of interesting audio. So I am going to play this clip if it's okay with you. Kelly, is all right with you?
Sorry.
What about Scotty? All right. Okay. Lori, all right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, here it is before Anthony Cangelosi joins us here just moments away. So this is as it's happening. Here we go.
That chart's a couple of months old. And if you want to really see something that said, take a look at what happened.
Where's the rest of it here? Hold on a second. It's not right here. This is the one I meant. So it's a little longer. I was incorrect. It's a little long. It's about 50 seconds.
Take a look at what happened. Oh.
Telling him to get down. That's the Secret Service returning fire.
On your ready. On you.
Ready.
Move.
Up.
Move.
Go.
Up. Hawkeye's here.
Hawkeye's here. Move to the stairs.
Hawkeye is the name Secret Service has for former President Trump.
Are we good?
Shooters down.
Shooters down. Are we good to move?
We're clear.
Here comes Trump.
Sir, come on.
Let me get my shoes.
I got you, sir.
Lost his
Let
shoes.
Let me get my shoes, sir.
Hold on, your head is bloody.
Sir, we got to move to the bus.
Let me get my shoes.
Okay, my shoes down, sir.
Wait.
So he's telling them, wait, I didn't know.
He lost his shoes.
I didn't know that. Could have been from them tackling him.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I lost my shoe in a car accident, and I was like, "How did my shoes come off?" But they say when you're taken down,
but you can hear them, you know, barking commands and things like. There's so much happening in that 45 seconds, right at that time, both on the stage and obviously on the roof where the Secret Service actually eliminated the shooter and such. I don't know.
And what I had heard is with the reviews of that, those people, those security right there, they felt like they had their S together. It was some of the ones from the stage to the car.
The planning.
The people didn't seem prepared.
Yes.
Didn't know how to holster their weapons. Didn't know which side of the hip their weapon was on.
Right. So obviously, when anything like this happens, you know, it's going to be investigated. It's going to be looked at from every possible angle. What could have been done? What went wrong? Why did it go wrong? What could we do better? So we learn. you know, from situations, terrible situations like this, tragedies. Obviously, the gentleman who lost his life and the other woman, the other person
in
that was
progress.
Hurt. So we're hooking up with Anthony Cangelosi. Yes.
Yeah, Greg, I didn't have you as a Zoom guest. I had you on the phone, so I'm just hanging that up now. So
okay, yeah. I think I meant to do Zoom. I apologize if I screwed up.
No problem. So you're on with Anthony Cangelosi. We're calling him a lecturer as opposed to an adjunct professor.
Gotcha.
The John Jay College of Criminal Justice.
Okay.
And I need you out by 23 after.
You got it. So Anthony Cangelosi is with us. He is a lecturer at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice, a professor of criminal justice. Hello, Anthony. How are you?
Good morning, Greg. I'm well. How are you today, sir?
Good. Also a former Secret Service agent. And, you know, I feel real, obviously shocked by what happened. I guess it's horrifying. But I also feel like I don't want to rush to judgment on what went wrong because we just don't know yet. You would have a better insight to that than certainly I would or we would. But it appears like some mistakes were made to have a shooter 400 feet from the former president. Yeah.
Yeah, that's correct. Listen, I very much appreciate you saying that we don't want to rush to judgment here because there's a lot of nuance that needs to be deciphered in order to get to the truth. What exactly went wrong? Mm-hmm. But yes, from watching the video on Saturday, my initial response is this is surreal. What went wrong? And then as I started to learn information that the shot came from 150 yards from a rooftop. With a clear line of sight to the podium where former President Trump was speaking, I was like, "Well, how did that happen?" Because that rooftop, make no mistake, should have been secured with an armed law enforcement officer, preferably uniform, to deter anyone from getting up on that roof or wanting to go up on the roof, and also to encounter anyone that tried to go up on the roof. So the question is, why wasn't there someone up there? And we need to interview a lot of people to get to that.
Right. And we live in a nation, we rush to judgment. You know, so as soon as we see it on social media, we start blaming, we start pointing fingers, and that kind of makes me crazy because, you know, I grew up, my brothers have been in law enforcement for 30 years, and I know that there's always a lot more to the story. And sometimes, indeed, bad mistakes are made, you know, but I always want to wait and sort of find out more information before I get to that point, you know. Roadkill has a question
now,
for you.
Anthony, on one of the news services, I saw them chatting about how when the shots were fired, the Secret Service came in, they protected the Trump and everything, and they did a fantastic job. But moving Trump from the stage to the vehicle, there were a lot of problems. Some police officers not holstering their guns right, couldn't find. When you see something like that, do you go through that in your head?
Well, okay, it's always easy to Monday morning quarterback. Yep. And getting back to what Greg said, we want to always remain intellectually curious. This is why I tell my students, intellectually curious and intellectually honest. We want to be gather information. So first of all, look, the adrenaline for those agents and for former President Trump had to be sky high under those circumstances. There's always a textbook way of doing things. And it's easy to do the textbook way of doing things when there's no adrenaline, when there's no fear going on, when there's all these other things that were taking place that day. So yeah, did they get him to the limo as quickly as they should have via the textbook? No. But there had to be so many things that we couldn't see on that tape that was going on. I think they acted tremendously professional. They did their job. And yeah, we can always say, oh, look, this one didn't get their gun in their holster the right way, and this one didn't do that. I've been in law enforcement 26 years. I'm sure someone could have watched me at some point and said, oh, he didn't get his gun in his holster the right way during those 26 years.
But it probably didn't help that the president at the same time was still trying to raise his hand and let everybody know, you know, he's okay. So I'm sure that didn't help things either.
Well, look, you know,
I don't blame him for
president,
that.
Like, pardon me?
I don't blame him for that. I mean, look, he just wanted to go, I'm okay, that kind of thing. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't know. It didn't seem like something unnecessary to me.
It's difficult. Look, you know, what he had a lot of adrenaline going through him, just like everybody else that day.
Mm-hmm.
And to say that he shouldn't have done that, I won't do that.
Yeah.
Look, you know, it's an event that certainly most of us can't imagine being in his position, being in the position of the agents, and also being in position of a lot of those people that were in the crowd. I mean, gosh, yeah. What was going on?
Yeah. This is Angela Cangelosi, who is a lecturer at John Jay College of Criminal Justice, also a former Secret Service agent. Kelly Brown has a question.
Anthony, who did you protect as a member of the Secret Service? And when you were working different events, was there just a level of stress that you were just completely happy when that event was over, or was it just part of your daily job?
Well, there's many ways to answer that question. Yeah, there's always a level of stress for any site visit, any venue, particularly of the president or someone of, you know, a high-value target. Mm-hmm. There's always a bunch of stress, and you're always happy when the event is over. You know, to answer your question, who did I pray? I was assigned to the New York field office between 2000 and 2004. Tremendous experience. Got to work with unbelievable agents that kind of molded me, not only for protection, but also for investigations. The Secret Service is often overlooked for the criminal investigations that they conduct. Mm-hmm. You know, New York is a busy town, so a lot of foreign dignitaries come in. There's a whole bunch of them. I was assigned different posts for former presidents. But in 2004, I was assigned to an advance team for the nominee, John Kerry, for the Democratic Party. And we would go out to different venues, much like this in Pennsylvania. And I remember going out to West Virginia, and we had, I think, three or four venues that we had to secure for a two-day visit. I don't remember all the particulars, but there's a lot of stress that goes into that. There's a lot of planning. The days are incredibly long. Sometimes you're getting calls from the campaign at 11:30 at night. And you've been working all day.
I know we have a limited amount of time, and we're coming up close to it, but I just got to ask, because, you know, in the news you saw the people that said, look, they saw the shooter, they were yelling, you know, but in an atmosphere, they said they tried to tell police or law enforcement, and it took minutes to do something. It's just not that easy. Like, it seems like awful. Oh, my God. It did seem to take a while, but, you know, communicating it to one law enforcement agency has to get in touch with another. Meanwhile, the sharpshooters are on the roof. Are they looking in the right place? There's a million things involved in those minutes, right?
That's correct. But, you know, that's what we pre-plan for. You know, how is the communication going to go down? It has to be timely. It has to be crisp. So my thought is, you have a local law enforcement officer in the command post with the Secret Service agent. If I'm the local police officer that's been told that information, the first thing I do is I'm communicating to the command post. Before I even check it out, because we've heard that one got on the other's shoulders and went up to the roof. But before I even do that, I'm communicating the potential threat so that the command post can let the counter sniper know where to look. Okay, so again, that's something you train for, you plan for. How are we going to communicate efficiently?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like it does appear that there were mistakes that were made. I'm just going to wait to hear the investigation and the official explanation as to how it happened and why. And I appreciate your perspective, man. I appreciate you taking time, Anthony, to join us today. And thanks to your service to the country. And thanks for what you do, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Greg. Everyone have a great day.
Okay, take care. That's Anthony Cangelosi. Yeah, I think he wanted to say more. You know what I mean? Like that right there.
But he can't come out and say, we know they royally effed up.
Yeah.
Like, there's
The fact that someone was yelling, he's got a gun, and something didn't get done right away is a huge, something's wrong there.
They just didn't secure that roof. That's a biggie.
Yeah. So,
Taco Tour. There's people on the roofs in Manchester all along Elm Street because they shut down the whole street, and you look up and there are people, and there's no president, there's no candidates, there's nobody. What I'm saying is, if they're securing Manchester, New Hampshire for a big event like that, this is a big fault when there's a rally with a former president.
That's true. I'm not saying there wasn't. I'm just waiting to see. I'm not going to sit here and scream at people who risk their lives, you know, to save people 24 hours after a situation like that happens.
Mistakes were made.
Yeah.
For sure.
Seems that way.
Yeah.
Certainly seems that way. Even the director said that mistakes were made, and she said the buck stops with her. This is the kind of thing, like, is she going to lose her job over it? Probably. That's what normally happens. The head has to step down, you know. There was criticism leveled at the agency from other people saying that in the past year or so, there have been issues that other Secret Service agents have had with how they handle things. So this will all come out in the laundry, you know. But yeah, I just can't fathom. I can't fathom that. Sitting there looking at a crowd, you're standing in front of maybe thousands of people, and you've got to look through the eyes of everybody in there and decide which one of these guys or women could be a threat.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole different ballgame when you got a guy crawling on the roof. That's astounding to me. And then you read these things, and you don't know if what you're reading is accurate. I mean, that's the world we live in, right? Just because somebody said, I did this and this, nothing happened, you don't know what really happened. So I guess I'm kind of skeptical about some things. But some things obviously were done wrong or not done well. So, and yet every time something like this happens, they will be teaching, they will take this situation,
yep,
and they will teach it in courses and training modules forever. And then something else will happen along the line that's never happened before. You know, something is going to go wrong that never went wrong before. And that will be, and that's par for the course, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, interesting perspective.
Yeah.
Do you remember when we had Clint Hill on? You remember Clint Hill was the JFK. He was the one on the back of the limousine. Yeah. We had him on three times. And Clint Hill described what it was like to climb onto the back of the limousine after JFK had been shot. And the what he saw and what he witnessed. The second time we had him on, he talked about the deep depression and alcoholism that followed because of the guilt he had and how it ruined his life. And the third time we had him on is how he dealt with that and came out of the darkness and into the light. He's got a book out, too, which is really tough to read, but very, very interesting, and some inside, you know, information on that situation. But
I believe that, you know, those guys were hired to do a job, and yeah, they feel in their head that they didn't do their job that day.
Yeah.
And
it plagued him for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
That 60 seconds.
They took it very personal.
Yep. Yep. Okay. Well, there you go. That's interesting. You can comment if you want. Shoot us an email, greg@morningbuzz.com. But we, my friends, will be leaving you now, and we will see you tomorrow at 5:30.